Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now I want to preach this morning on this subject, on this title, let there be light. Okay, let there be light. Let's pray together. Lord, would you bless our time together this morning in your word. I pray that it'd be a challenge to all of us in here who are saved. And then, Lord, I pray if there's someone in here that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray to be a challenge to them. I pray that you'll knock at their heart's door, help them to see that you love them and want to save them today, and that they can be saved. And so, Lord, I pray if someone is in this room that's lost, that, Lord, today would be the day of their salvation. I do pray for our two children's churches that are going on right now in the other rooms, the other buildings. I pray, God, that you'll meet with those kids and bless the work that's done in there. And Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for giving us a church. Bless our time together now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I love to hunt. I don't know how many of you in here love to hunt. I enjoy hunting. I haven't done a lot of it in the last 4 years or so. But I do enjoy hunting. It is my favorite pastime. When you deer hunt, you guys and girls in here that do some deer hunting, when you deer hunt, you have to get in the stand well before daylight. You're supposed to anyways, right? But if you have a box stand, you can creep in there about 10 minutes before that sky starts turning blue, and normally you're okay. But I normally use a climbing stand. I like to bow hunt, and so we do a lot of hunting on public land, and so when we do go, and so you really have to get in there early, because you have to walk in, you have to take that stand, hang it on a tree, climb up 20, 25 feet in the air, get all situated and so forth, and you've got to beat all that before the light, before the sun begins to come up. My brother Sean and I hunt together a lot. Our family lost our lease that we were on for 10 years from 2008 to 2018, and so I don't think I've hunted with Shane since that time, maybe a little turkey hunting, but Sean and I still get together, and he hunts quite a bit, fishes quite a bit, so I can just jump in with him from time to time as I have time. And so, well, we go to the public land down at Lake Whitney. Brother Cade's been down there, and Sean and I hunt down there. And when we hunt down at Lake Whitney near Sean's house, we have to drive 45 minutes from his house or from wherever we're staying there, and we have to put a boat in the water, get on the water, go down the river, cross the river, because we hunt in a spot where no one else hunts. Everyone comes from the access roads, and so if you get on the river, you can get in the back of those woods and get away from the crowd. And so we go down that river, and we have to park the boat in the dark and unload the boat in the dark. And then where we hunt, as of last year where we hunted, we have to walk in about 500 yards in the dark to our stand. Now, I don't have to tell you, but that's a very intimidating thing to do. Just to go down the river in the dark, not knowing if you're going to hit a log or something. And with Sean's driving, you have to be very, Sean and Brother Brent and I were turkey hunting this spring, and I needed a chiropractor when we were done on that, with that wind that that day on that boat. But if you've ever been there, if you've ever done this kind of thing, but we have to walk in the dark, and you know what's howling all around you? Wolves. They're coyotes, but you think they're wolves in the dark, you know. You think it's a grizzly bear. You don't know what it is. So you have coyotes howling all around you. You have the little small animals that are moving around in the grass, and you have no clue what that is. And so it's very intimidating not being able to see what is right in front of you. Now, what makes all the difference in the world is that small flashlight on your head, right? As we go through the season, and it gets colder, and we think the snakes have gone sleepy for the winter, then we try to make it in without, you know, when it's a brighter moon, you can make it in without your flashlight. But for the most part, you get out there at dark 30 and you're trying to get to your stand. That little flashlight makes a lot of difference. With the light, you can see where you're headed. With the light, I don't know why, it's not like you're going to kill somebody with a light, but with the light, you feel safer. Without a light, you feel like you can walk up on someone or somebody with a light. The only thing that scares you is when you're walking, all of a sudden the cow walks in front of you and you catch the cow eyes glowing at you. And you think, there it is. There's the moose out here at Lake Whitney. And so one time I was hunting alone. This was up in, and I'm getting to a point here, but I was hunting alone up in Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas. That's really my favorite place to hunt. Haven't done that in a few years, but I was hunting alone on a hillside. I was up in a tree. I had my climbing stand and was up in this tree. I had parked a four-wheeler down the path about 150 yards. And right at evening, I love the evening hunt, but right at evening, right as it began to get dark, the sun went down. And I try to stay as long as I can in a stand. And you're not supposed to shoot 30 minutes after the sun goes down. So those 30 minutes, it's still light enough. Even though the older you get, it's not as light anymore. But I stay as long as I can, and with a bow and arrow, Brother Cade, I mean, you know, hey, but if they hear a gunshot 30 minutes after, you're dead meat. So I stay till it's just really, really dark. Well, I'm alone, and so I was ready to climb down. I have a two-piece climbing stand, so one piece hangs on my foot, and one piece I wrap around my waist. They're tied together with a rope. One time last year, I dropped the bottom piece. It was still on the rope, but it dropped where I couldn't reach it. And my brother Sean was in his stand down the way, and I literally had to get down and hang up in the tree on the top of my stand and hang with my hands. And thankfully, I got Jack and Sledge to pull me back up, and I had to, I mean, up in the stand, go down as far as I could with my boot and grab that stand and pull it back up. So yes, you can get killed in a deer stand. But up there in Arkansas, it was dark. It was time to climb down. I was ready to go. And guess what fell from the tree and busted? Me, yeah. Not yet, but I'm not far off. My flashlight. So I had to climb down, tie up my stand, walk out of the woods with absolutely no light at all. There was no moonlight on that, just barely moonlight and a somewhat unfamiliar hillside. Complete darkness. You want to know the whole truth? I got lost twice. And the only way I found my way back was I started walking towards what I thought was where the four-wheeler was. And then next thing I know, I thought, man, I'm too far downhill. Sometimes you could just in the darkness see that beaten path. The only way I found my way back was I saw up on the hill in just enough moonlight, I saw the silhouette of my tree. And I had left my tree stand right there at the bottom of it. And I saw that silhouette, and it was enough to get my attention so that I would go back to that tree and be able to make my way back to that four-wheeler. Now, here's the thing I want you to see today as we get into the message, and that is this. Light makes the difference. Are you with me? Pay attention up here now. Light makes the difference. When that flashlight, this was years ago now, but when that flashlight fell, it was because I had a handheld. From that day forward, I've had a headband flashlight. In Genesis chapter number 1, when God created earth, and when he created man, and when he created animals, and all of the beauty that we see today, the first thing that God said was, this world needs light. Look at verse number 1. Before he created anything else other than heaven and the earth, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, I want you to fast forward about 6,000 years. Young people, this world, this earth is not millions and billions of years old. It's not. It could be dated in the Bible. I believe it's a little over 6,000 years old. It could be a little bit older than that, but it's definitely not a gazillion and a gabillion and all that stuff that the public school teaches you. Okay, so from that day when God created the heaven and earth, and he said, you know, I don't like the fact there's darkness here. He says, let there be light. Now we can fast forward about 6,000 years to the day in which you and I live. And you and I are living in a sinful and a dark world. world, and I believe still that God does not like the darkness. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. The devil and all of his demons are certainly in full control of this old dark world that we're living in today. I saw a picture that someone showed me of some military, I don't know who the person was, but someone in the military under Biden's watch, and there's this old man in his military uniform, and they went to visit like the French embassy or something to represent the United States, and it's this old man in his military uniform, and he is wearing a skirt. He is wearing a skirt, and then his boyfriend or husband or his thing beside him is in a full ladies, like you might call it a ball gown or a prom dress or something. The guy's completely bald. Man, we're living in a weird world today. We're living in a messed up world, and we understand that the devil is in full control. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, listen to this, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. You know the day is dark when you read headlines like the fella that's acting like a girl, that's swimming with the girls in the collegiate league or whatever it is, and is now, at its college, been nominated as Woman of the Year. You know you're living in a dark world when the headlines this week are U.S. House voting on bill to protect travel for abortions. Woman riding New York City bus, bashed in the head by three attackers who told her they hate white people. 10-year-old Ohio girl, raped by illegal immigrant. Teenagers beat elderly man to death with a traffic cone. Gender-affirming closet at Missouri High School gets $10,000 grant so the LGBTQ students can wear clothes that reflect their gender identity without their parents knowing. We're living in dark times. Men love darkness rather than light. But I tell you who doesn't like darkness. God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and the Bible says God saw the light, that it was good. And I believe that God is still saying to you and I today, in 2022, in the middle of the summer, in the middle of the mess that our country is in, I believe God's still saying to us today, let there be light. I don't know about you, but I'm not a fan of the darkness. Amen. I'm not a fan of the darkness at all. You ever had your electricity go out and you're just wishing for the day? I mean, for many different reasons, I don't like the darkness. I don't like the darkness because that's when the copperheads come out oftentimes in the cool of that darkness. And I don't like snakes, but I don't like darkness, period. Wednesday night, we got out of church. Not too late, and believe it or not, I didn't preach that long. I didn't start preaching until I think 8:20, and we were dismissing the whole service by 9. I didn't bring that sermon back with me, but we left. We finally got out of there. I think as a group about 9:45, and the kids went ice skating, and I didn't want to go. I had gone the night before to their activity, and so Miss Audrey and I went over to the IHOP there in Arlington, there on Interstate 30, and we just had a late night meal, and it was dark though when we walked out. Now I'm not a fan of the city to begin with. I've been in the country for too long, and I'm just not a fan of the city. Brother Lasser was telling me that at Six Flags now they're having a bunch of gang fights, and so gangs are just showing up there to have big knockdown dragouts there at that part. We just live in a world that's just, it's dark. It's so dark in this nation today. Well, we left IHOP and you know, thank God when a lady trusts her husband, Miss Audrey just kind of da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da to the truck. I'm leaving IHOP to my truck, and my head's on a swivel. You know what I'm talking about? My head's on the swivel the whole time. I got to my truck, you know, opened the door. Miss Audie's still putting her stuff in the back seat. Now you sit there. I said, what are you doing? I said, get in. We don't know who's going to walk up. We're right here on the interstate. Man, I want to get in. First thing I do when I get in my truck every time is lock the door, because I figured when they grab that door, it'll give me time to grab my gun and protect myself, protect my family. I just don't do well with the darkness at all. And friend, listen, as a born-again Christian, we shouldn't do too well with the darkness in this world today. And so I want to give you, there are three lights given in the Bible that will make a difference in the darkness. Three lights given in the Bible that will make a difference in the darkness. I still believe today God is saying, let there be light. Turn to John chapter number 1. Gospel of John chapter number 1 with me, if you would there. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Gospel of John chapter number 1. We'll actually be in 1 John tonight, but John chapter number 1 for now. Three lights given in the Bible that will make a difference in the darkness. Number one is this. First light is this. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him, in Christ, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light came on. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. It's talking about John the Baptist. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light. I love that capital L. That all men through Him, through the light, through Christ, might believe. He was not that light, John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man. Aren't you glad? So whosoever will salvation, lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, Jesus. And the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Aren't we glad for this next verse? But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You must be born again. You were born of your mama. You must be born of God. But I believe today that God's still saying, let there be light. And friend, that's why we pass out gospel tracts. That's why we run bus routes. That's why we knock on doors. That's why we send missionaries. That's why we stay busy as a church. That's why we're not cutting back on our services. That's why we don't look for less ways to serve God. We look for more ways. Why? Because the world's getting darker just in your time and my time from what we're used to. And I believe God's still saying, I don't like this darkness. Let there be light. Hey, you want to bring someone out of darkness? Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 3 and verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. May I say to you, the light has come into the world and died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. Do you want your sin, or do you want your Savior? For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are right in God. The only way not to walk in darkness is to come to the light and to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today. The Bible says in John 8 and verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Bible says in John chapter 12 and verse number 35, Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. He goes on to say in verse number 46, I am come a light into the world. I love this, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Amen. If you're not 100% sure of your salvation this morning, friend, you're walking in darkness. I would say to you, let the light come on. Trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let Him be the light in your heart and pull you out of that darkness. He'll do that if you only believe. Not only must we be saved, be born again, be walking in the light, but I believe also when God says, let there be light, He's not only saying that Jesus Christ is the light, but He's telling us as Christians that we're to give the light to others. We're to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and I want to read you something out of Mark chapter number 16. But you look at 2 Corinthians 4, I'll be there in a minute. Mark chapter 16, the Bible says in verse 15, He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That verse doesn't scare me, because He never said, he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned. He told them how to be saved there in Mark 16. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not. It's belief. That's what lines up with the rest of the Bible. Should you be baptized? Absolutely. First command of God for a born-again Christian is to be baptized by immersion, but that has nothing to do with your salvation. So God says, let there be light. And He sent His Son, He sent Himself in the person of Jesus Christ to bring light to the world. And some men hate that light, and some men will love that light and receive Christ as their personal Savior. But friend, it's up to you and I to share that light with those around us. 2 Corinthians 4 says this in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, I think I asked you this last week in some other message, but do the folks around you know that you're a born-again Christian? The people at your job know that you're saved? Hey, let me ask you a question. Those people online, do they know that you're saved? Do you ever talk about spiritual things? You ever put a scripture online? You ever put how to be saved online? You ever brag about your church? Or is it all just worldliness and the things of this world? Hey, the world ought to know that we're saved. Why? Because if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the god of this world, little g, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Listen, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Verse 6 says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So God, who created the heavens and the earth, and as soon as He did that, before He put a sun, before He put a moon, that's later on in the chapter, before He put humans, before He put seas, before He put the fish and the plants and the trees, God created the heaven and the earth, and He saw that it was dark, and He said, let there be light. And friend, listen, if you're lost today, God is saying to you, let there be light. Be saved today. And if you are saved today, God says, let there be light. Get out there and share the good news of Jesus Christ. So light number one is the word of God, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, light number two is the word of God. For the lost, the word of God is the light that points to the saving light, Jesus Christ. There is no other way to be born again and ever see that mansion in heaven except the Bible way. Someone else has a philosophy. Someone else has a teaching. Someone else has a book. Someone else has a thought. Well, you work your way to heaven. And no, you don't. That's not what the Bible says. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Well, I think you do right. You be good and you be ethical and you be moral and you pay your bills. The Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one. There's one way to heaven, and it's the Bible way. And so the Bible, the Word of God, is that light that points to the Lord Jesus Christ. For the saved, the Word of God is the light that lights our path as we live our lives in this dark world. Remember, I think we talked about this a week or so ago. We're in the world. We're not to be of the world. We're in the world. We're not to be of the world. Think back to me walking through dark woods and dark fields and it's pitch black and you can't see. And so I take that little headlamp that I have and I turn that flashlight on. You know what that flashlight does that I use when I hunt? It does not light the entire countryside. It just shows me the next step to take. Around me is still dark. All around me is still dark. Step out of this building and go to the grocery store and you're going to see dark. Go to the restaurant, you're going to see darkness. Go to the public school, you're going to see darkness. Go to the ball field, you're going to see and you're going to hear darkness. But friend, listen, God says in a Christian's life, let there be light. And the psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse number 105, you know the passage. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse number 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Hey, are we walking in the light of the Word of God this morning? In other words, simply put, have we been in our Bible this week? I like Bible preaching. I enjoy preaching. The studying is hard. Much study is a weariness of the flesh, the Bible says. The studying is hard. Man, I can come up here and fix a door, or fix a toilet, or talk with people, or whatever needs to be done. But boy, when you sit down and you need to focus, it's hard for me. I'm ADD, ADHD, high definition, all that. Never had any medicine. Don't want any medicine for it. Live without all that medicine all those days. All I need is a Coke Zero and a Twix. And I'm ready to sit down and study again. I just needed that 5 minute break. It's hard to focus. But I love Bible preaching. That's why I'll get up here often and I'll say, hey, I heard the other day. I don't know. Maybe Brother Trent preached it. Maybe I said it. Maybe someone else. Because I'm always listening to preaching. I love preaching. It'll change your life. Right. Why? Because the Word of God is a light. Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandment is a lamp. The law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Yes, Jesus is the living Word, but God gave us a written Word to guide us along the path of life. But how many days do we go to the woods without our flashlight? How many days do we go to the woods without our flashlight? I guess the hardest day of the season to hunt is the first day of the season. We don't turkey hunt. Brother Brent and I have turkey hunted together for probably 15 years. We don't do it as much anymore. There's not a lot of turkey around anymore in the places where we used to go. Plus, he's getting old. And so it's getting tougher. But we don't do it. So we only went one time this year. We went, I think, an evening and a morning, I think it was. We evening and a morning and an afternoon. I remember now, we hunted in the evening. That morning we all slept in. Drove 2 hours of sleep in. And then went for a little bit in the afternoon. It's hard when you only go one day because you don't have half of what you... And when you go deer hunt, a lot of times you're, man, I forgot my call, or man, I forgot my trigger. That could be bad. Or a lot of times it's like, man, this battery worked last year. Why is it not working now? It's a lot harder to hunt if you don't have your equipment. It's a lot harder to live the Christian life if we're not using the flashlights. How many days Do we wake up and go out in the midst of a dark world without ever reading and studying and being guided by the Word of God? I'm convinced too many Christians today are being guided by their flesh. This is how I feel. This is what I want to say. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to post, instead of being guided by the light of God's Word. Too many Christians today are living dangerously. Some are hurting themselves and some are hurting their family because they're leaving the light on the end table and are choosing to foolishly go about each day with no lamp unto their feet. God, and I hope you'll come back tonight. And tonight we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Are you walking in darkness as a Christian or are you walking in the light? There are some evidences that we're walking in darkness. There's dangers of walking in darkness, but there's victory in walking in the light, being obedient to God, being in the center of God's will. God's desire for your life and my challenge to you this morning as a Christian is, let there be light. So, yes, we live in a dark world, and I don't care if Biden or whoever his puppet handler is. I don't care if they're president. I don't care if Trump's president. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but Trump's not the model Christian. And it's not all about money. I get it. I get the economy. I want it to be better. No doubt about it. But the White House is not going to make a difference in the darkness. God said there at creation, he looked around, there was darkness. He said, tell you the first thing we got to do. That was a clap on the clapper. Never mind. First thing God said was, let there be light. And I still think today God's saying, yes, it's dark, but it doesn't have to be dark where you are. Let there be light. Three lights he gave us. One, Jesus is a light. Two, the Word of God for a Christian is a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. But here's a third one that I want to leave you with. Born again believers are light. It ought to be when a child of God is standing in a building, everybody knows. I'm not talking about me, a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. They're just going something different. Man, there is something different about, look at her work ethic, look at her timeliness, look at her spirit, look at her dress, look at her attitude. You can tell, I don't agree with all that, whatever they got going down there, but you can tell she loves her husband, you can tell she loves her kids, you can tell she loves her Savior, you can tell she loves her church. I'll tell you what, that man over there, he goes down to one of those crazy churches down here, that Trinity, and man, it's a weird church, and man, they, I don't know, it's crazy, but I'll tell you what, man, you're never going to hear him cuss, you're never going to hear a bad attitude, he's one of the best workers we've got. You know what God's saying to you as you go out into the work world this week? Let there be light. Let there be light. Yes, we can complain about the darkness. Yes, we can talk about the headlines. Or we can make a difference. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I want to read you Matthew 5. It's a familiar passage, but Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hey, did your light shine this week? I'm not a perfect Christian. Neither are you. We're complete in Christ, but we're still sinners saved by grace, and I fail often. I was leaving the hotel Thursday morning there in Arlington, and all of the young people that were at that conference were at that hotel. And I asked the youth pastor the week before, I said, man, do you mind getting me a top floor room? I said, you don't have to if you can't do it, but if it's no trouble, you can get me a top floor room. I said, because I know if you put a couple hundred teenagers in a hotel room, there is going to be noise. And it worked great. I got the top floor and it was great. But when I went to leave, I thought, you know, we don't leave our hotel rooms messy. There's the trash bag. You know, the towels are piled up, but we don't leave it all over the place. I don't think you should. I clean my table at a restaurant. You ever go sit down with me? When I'm ready to go, I'll start picking up all the little trash and putting it on my plate. And I just, it's just a habit. I make such a mess while I'm eating. You know? But I walked out of that hotel room, and I'm just using this as an example because, again, I fail often. But Miss Audie gets thank you tracts everywhere we go. She's always got them in her purse. I rarely ever had something on me because it just, you know, where do you put them? You don't want to get somebody with a track with a hiney band in it. Here. Your gospel stinks. But anytime we're together, so you got a track. And I walked out of our room, and we're carrying, you know, 14 bags because Miss Audie was gone for 2 days. And so we're... And I saw the little cleaning lady there, and I thought, there is no telling what she's about to go clean in this hotel after all these kids. And that's unfortunate, and that's on leadership if you ever take our kids anywhere. Yeah. And so I just reached in my pocket, got a $20 bill, and that's not much. But I got a $20 bill, and I said, give me one of those thank you tracts that have the gospel on it. And I went, and I tried to find her, and she was in some room, and I wasn't going in there. So I just went back and sat it on the bar there by the microwave in our room. I came home, and that was on Thursday. And then my dad, I talked to my dad on Friday, and he was telling me he got a new tailgate for his truck. And he said he had to go down to the Corsicana area. And I'm just listening. And he said, you know, those two guys, they did such a great job. He said, I just gave them a 20. And those guys are getting paid by their employer to do this. I just gave them a 20 and said, fellas, listen, go buy yourself a lunch and whatever. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm becoming my dad. Listen. Go out and be light this week. People don't want to come to church because of what the church is producing. Why would they not spend their Sunday on the lake if you went to church all day and you come in Monday with a pathetic attitude? Why would they not just go skiing on Sunday? Young people, some of you have lost moms and dads and aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas. And thank God you ride the bus and thank God you come to church. But you've got to go home and God says, let there be light. You're the light of the world. And if they see no difference, you're never going to get mom and dad in church. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me get over there where you are. Quick here. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Verse number 9. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, you know what He's going to do now? He's going to start telling us how to live our life. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Have good behavior amongst the lost world, whereas they speak against you as evildoers. They may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know what verse 12 just told us? I believe this is what it's telling us. Is they may mock you now. They may scorn you now. They may say you're part of a weird church. You're part of a cult. Come on down to our place. Wear what you want. Act like you want. It's the music that you want. And nothing spiritual ever happens. It's just entertainment. So they mock you now. You either give in to that stuff, or you take a stand for Christ, and the Bible says there are going to be some people that notice. And that they may glorify God in the day of visitation. What I believe that's telling us is the same crowd. You didn't give in to their criticisms and their critiques and so forth. You didn't let that go to your heart where you start doubting a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church with some standards, by the way. The Bible says right there you're going to win some of them to Christ. It may take till the day of their death. It may take till the day of your death. It may be your funeral. But they say, I'm going to tell you what, they lived it every day. Is that you? If you're truly born again, you are a light in this dark world. Young people, think about those glow sticks. Out in the dark, you got a glow stick, and you break that thing, and it lights up. And just, I didn't want you to just imagine in your mind right now a dark field out here, pitch black, but you see about 15 or 20 of those glow sticks in a row. We're the glow sticks. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. When I go down this week, I'm sure I'll wind up at the bank at some point. I wind up at the post office at some point. I wind up at a coffee shop at several points. I'll go down to the hardware store. I was just there a couple days ago. Everywhere I go, everything I do, I'm a city set on a hill. I cannot be hid. If I choose to chew someone out because my hamburger was a little bit cold, if I choose to get around amongst my fellow employees and bash my spouse, if I choose to get online and act like God's dead with my little negative down in the mouth post so I can get attention and woe is me and all this junk. Remember this, the world's getting darker. God says, let there be light. Think about that before you speak. Think about that before you act. Think about that when you're getting dressed. By the way, if it's immodest, if we tell our young people, you can't wear that in public, you can't go to the youth rally and wear that in public, you can't go to the youth camp and wear that in public, why would you post that online? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. It's getting darker outside. It's getting more weird outside. But the world's going to do what the world's going to do. God says, I don't like this darkness, but I'm not going to just let the world sit in darkness. Let there be light. And He sent His Son, who said, I'm the light of the world. Sent His Son to die for your sin and for mine. And He said, my word is going to be a light. Why would you even need a light? Because all around you is dark. My word is a lamp under your feet, a light under your path. And then He says this, hey, God has called you out of darkness into the light. Go out this week and be light. I wonder, Brother Trent, as Ezekiel the prophet said, I wonder when we stand one day and we're watching what's happening at the great white throne judgments. People are being cast in the lake of fire. I wonder how many people are going to be cast in the lake of fire when we should have been a light to them. But what they saw in us did not attract them to Jesus Christ. Help God help us this week. Hey, let's charge the battery every day. And let's get out there and be what God wants us to be.